Okay, we have a couple prayer requests this morning. First one is pray for Sandra Stillman, who is dealing with some emotional and medical battles. Sandra Stillman, she is a very dear friend of mine from Texas. And when my husband and I found out that there was no cure for him, that he was going home,
sure,
and that was it, he had me call Sandra to come up from Texas to Oklahoma to help me, because she had went through what I was going through, what I was about to go through. She has lost her husband years, you know, it's been some years now, and she's also lost her only daughter, like me. So she is someone that I draw from, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
And so she's on my heart heavy this morning, so I want to pray for her. And then also pray for my sister Renee and her husband Robert Guilford. They opened up another shop here in Elk City, and they just got him a place. I just want the Lord to pour it out on them.
Yeah.
And tug their heart toward him.
Yes.
And then continue to pray and believe with Neva and Joe. Joe had to have a stent replaced in his kidney. So if we can continue to pray and believe with them for a super fast and supernatural healing. And then also for my friend Tanya in Texas. I've known this girl since junior high. And she's just going through some stuff. So if we can cover these people in prayer, that would be awesome.
We're going to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you hear us. Thank you. Thank you. You don't have to hear us. You want to hear us, Lord God. And because of this, we come before you, Lord God, with these requests, with these petitions, Father. For Sandra, I pray, Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would bring the deliverance in her soul. I pray, Father, for peace that passes understanding, for joy to rise up within her. I cancel the assignments of the evil one over her life, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray that you open up the eyes of her understanding, that she might know her position in you, Lord God, that nothing is too difficult for you, Lord God. And for the confusion, we speak to confusion in Jesus' name, that you have to leave. And Lord, I pray that your peace and your comfort would replace and supplant that which she is battling. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Father, we pray for Renee and Robert, Lord God. Lord, as they're beginning this new business, I pray, Father, that you give them wisdom, that you direct them in the way they should go, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you give them a guide map, a direction, Lord God. Father, I pray that you impress it upon their minds and their hearts. Lord God, I pray that the evidence is you. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we continue to pray for Joe in Jesus' name. Not because we doubted you the first time we prayed, because we are confident that you always hear us. And when we pray according to your will, that we will receive the requests we've requested of you. And Lord God, it's in your will that Joe be healed. If it wasn't in your will, then Jesus bore stripes on his back for no reason. I thank you, Lord God, that your purpose for us is that we walk in life and health. Lord God, and we speak that over Joe. In Jesus' name, I pray for those things that produce confusion in the mind. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace. We speak a clarity and understanding, not according to our thoughts, Lord God, but according to your thoughts. I'm thanking you for it. I'm thanking you for the blessing that Joe and Neva are, and I pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. And Lord, for Tanya, we just lift her up, Lord God. Father, I pray that you meet her in her wanderings. Lord God, that as she goes one direction, she's going to find you there. As she goes another direction, she's going to find you there. And Lord God, I pray that you reveal yourself to her in the most loving way, because you are love. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you that the enemy's hands are tied concerning Tanya, or Tanya, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They are one of our Facebook sponsors. Also, Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. They're one of our sponsors. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at bardiceandford.net.
And we're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Rick Spain. His title is About People. Back to you, sir.
All right. The camera is slowly moving over. Our camera worker is doing great. And he wanted to shout out that he loves his mother.
Yes.
So, Mom, you got a good kid there. Yeah. So we were talking about people you encountered, family being the most important. You know, it's interesting because the Lord laid it on my heart to write a book. I've done a lot of writing in my life, but I've never written a book. And so I know that God's put books in me. And so he gave me a title, which is, it's, you know, when you go the direction the Lord wants you to go, it doesn't always make sense, guys.
Come on.
Yeah. So the title of my book is The Science of God. Now, does that sound interesting? Well, if you're a little geeky like me, it is interesting. But it's going to be a great book. And so I don't have much time to write. I had an English teacher at the college tell me you need to take 30 minutes a day to write on this book. And so as I get into writing, it takes me 30 minutes to get started. You know, and so I need like at least a couple of hours when I start writing. So just to write a little bit here and there, what happens is I got to go back and read again what, you know, what all I wrote down so I can keep on writing. So anyway, I'm thinking, we're going to Missouri. I'm going to be able to write on this book. Well, this was before we left, and the wife, Miss Heather, did not like that idea. She says, we are going on a family vacation. We're not going to sit around while you write a book.
I love you, Heather.
You know, in the logical brain of a guy, I'm thinking, this is perfect. I could take a couple hours here or there. Needless to say, I didn't bring my writing material with me. I left it at the house. I know. Happy wife, happy life. It's true, you guys. Just a side thought. The older you get in marriage, the more you realize how much your wife is right, whether it's the truth or not.
Come on. I'll throw that.
Okay, so I'm going to get off of that. But so, you know, I'm learning that the family's the most important thing. You know, and so we began to schedule events, and really Heather is the scheduler because, like I said before Heather and I got together, now this is both of us, not either one of our first marriage, and so before we got together, both had kids, we didn't go on vacations. Well, you know, I can maybe a couple, and usually there was one vacation we went on that is actually not family-oriented. And we still got family in there on the way. Because you know why? I'm a guy. I'm logical. You know what? I need to go see family that live far away. And so this is a responsibility for my life. And so I've got to schedule that in our way to go on the vacation. But since I've married Heather, she is the vacation planner. Oh, my gosh. She should be in the planning business. And I'm not kidding. She is good. She's good at it. And so we're sitting around. But the problem is what she does is when we're making plans, well, what do you want to do? I have no idea. You're the one that's done all the research. You know, let's just lay some stuff out. So she starts sharing with me. And so we're scheduling events in Branson. This is on Sunday or Saturday, the first day we're there. And, you know, as we're scheduling events and as I am thinking about what the Lord has for me to share with you this morning, I was thinking, two thoughts came to me, scheduling events and the perfect will of God. Scheduling events and the perfect will of God. What is vacation? What is vacation? Is this a time where we can just be separated and you know, we can leave the things of the Lord back at our home and then we can kind of let ourselves loose and do what we want to do? Is that what vacation is? You know, and it's interesting that I would say this to you. Because this is the mindset that we have. So we're free from obligations, free from this, free from that. We're going to have a good time. You know, and I regret to say that was not in my mindset, the perfect will of God. What was really in my mindset was whatever the wife wants to do, that's what I want to do. But that does not negate or exclude the perfect will of God. You see, God wants you to operate in His perfect will, not just when you want to, but all the time. All the time. And so, as we're going around in Branson, we actually saw two groups of people that were from our hometown in Weatherford, Oklahoma, that's just wild. The first one was in a little kids thing we went through, and she's actually a neighbor of ours about 2 miles away. We're out in the country, so she's about 2 miles away from us. That's neighbor when you're out in the country. So she wasn't very far from me, and the other one was was a local resident here there in Weatherford at the Jesus Encounter. And, it, you know, it's just, it's wild to see somebody you know, and that with that many people, it's spring break in Branson. I mean, it was crowded. You know, so we saw a couple of people we knew, but I met a lot of people I didn't know. Some of them with just a quick word or you know, just where are you from? Maybe get a sideways thought in there about the Lord, you know, so that my mind wasn't on the perfect will of God, you know. And so I want you to know the reason for this. There's a reason for it, because there's two effects that life brings us. Two effects. One of the effects is how the world affects you. And generally, that's where our mind is, especially when you get me on the highway, buddy. If my mind's not set right before I get to going, you know, get out of the way or fall in line, because I got stuff to do. You know, and that's my mindset. So this is the mindset of how people are affecting my life. And most of us are controlled by that. And what I call that is the victim mentality. And that is what people are doing to us or preventing us from doing. And so our mindset is always at those around us as being our enemy. You know, but God's got another way how the world can affect you. And that other way is in your participation. You know, this is something I've adopted of myself, that I have an understanding that I am a very insignificant piece in all of creation. I mean, you have to get a microscope to see me in there. You know, but I have determined that I'm going to be the most significant, insignificant piece that there is. That's my mindset. And so with that mindset, I have learned not to pay so much attention of who's in front of me or who's impeding me, but to pay more attention to where I am. Because if I learn control of myself, which is called self-control, then I can have an effect on my world. And so what this is called is the purpose mentality. Because I have a purpose. I have a reason for being here. You know what? You have a purpose. You have a reason for being here. You know, I see a lot of people after they retire, you know, and what they do is they sit back and they don't enjoy life. They have lost their significance because they've retired. You know, their job was their significance. And so then they feel like that I have no reason for being here. If you're breathing, you have a reason for being here. Amen. And God wants to show you what that reason is. And most of the time, the reason's not on those things on the outside of you. It's what's on the inside of you. Because if you don't understand what's in you, you are not going to fulfill the purpose or your reason for being on this earth. So I want to close up with this thought. How do you accomplish this? So if we bring out a problem or a situation, or I'm talking to you about what you should or should not do, which I'm pointing to me too, then I better have a way to do this. And so the Lord gave me a little bit this morning that I want to share with you. How do you accomplish this? Number one, you follow the guidebook. You know, it's interesting, because when you're in an unfamiliar place, you want to have a guidebook. You know, so we're picking out shows, and of course, Heather's looking at all that, because you know what I'm going to do, Monica? Whatever she wants to do, that's what I'm going to do. you know, and so God's on all the shows and this and that, times and how much it costs, all that kind of stuff. You want that guidebook. And the other thing you want is a map. You know, you got to have a map because Branson, I mean, every time you go there, it changes. It's just growing and growing. So we've got the guidebook. So what kind of guidebook am I talking about here? There's only one, and that's God's Word. I was going to pick it up, but I got stuff in there. It's God's Word. That is our guidebook. This is, see, the reason why God gave us His Word is for an instruction manual for our life. That's not only giving us the directions, but it's showing us where and how. If you don't have this, you can wrap the other stuff up. It's going to be hit and miss, because this is God's number one way to lead in your life, through His Word. You know, so I hear a lot of people talking about praying. And usually our prayers are petitional. Lord, help us in this. Lord, direct us. Lord, keep us safe. These kind of things. But you know what? Prayer is a two-way avenue. So if you're the one always doing the talking, how well is He going to be able to guide you? So this is Him talking to you. And so if you're looking for direction in your life, open up the Word of God. This is the number one way we're going to get direction. So the other thing is that you need to pay attention to His voice. Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, that's one of my favorite texts. It's Elijah after he had produced a miracle on Mount Horeb. Was it Mount Horeb? One of the mountains, I can't remember, where the false prophets were all up there, and he's up there, and God shows a miracle with the burning up of the sacrifice and everything else that was around it. So it just proved, and then Elijah found himself in a, could you call it a conundrum? I think you could. Because in his mind, I could see. In his mind, you know, God's going to prove Himself, then all of Israel's going to turn back to God. It didn't happen that way. Now, the people did, but the leadership, and specifically Queen Jezebel, she was not a good person. Not a good lady. And so she threatened, who was it? Have I been saying Elijah? I have had. Okay, I just want to make sure. Threatened Elijah, and so two things happened. One is he was confused. The second thing is he became fearful. You know, and so what he do? He run off. He went to hide. And God's still taking care of him. He said, I want you to go over here. You know, I'm going to take care of you. And he says, then I want you to go up on this mountain. And so he's up on this other mountain, and he's in that deep, depressed state. I want you guys to understand this. You're not the only one that goes through that deep depression where you don't understand what's going on. Confusion. That's where he was. And the Lord said, I'm going to speak to you up on this mountain. So it says that there was earthquake that came. I mean, it rocked the mountain. And it says the Lord was not in that. It said that there was a mighty wind, like, you know, sound like a tornado because it's picking up rocks. And so it went through, and it says the Lord was not in that. And then it says that there was a fire. A fire that destroyed things around it. But it said that the Lord wasn't in that. But then it says there was a gentle breeze and a whisper. And Elijah went out, and the Lord spoke to him through the whisper. You know, what I want you to know is when God speaks to us, he doesn't raise his voice. When God speaks to us, he waits until we're ready to listen. He's not going to waste his words. Now, this is nothing against you, but it's so much to do with him, because he knows he's not going to say something that you can't receive. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. No other voice will I follow. No, will they follow." So we have to know that we know his voice. There's times when God speaks to us and we think, well, you know, is that God? Or is that, you know, is that the devil? Well, let me tell you something. This is the way you can determine. If that voice is leading you to help people, it's probably God. Go ahead and do it. If that voice is to benefit you and you alone, well, yeah, we got to think about that. I like that, Monica. That's a good thought. So we have to listen to his voice. You know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Son, I want you to be ready in season and out of season to proclaim what God's put in you." In season and out of season. So what does that mean? What is in season and out of season? So the in season is when it's in your plans. Those are the kinds we like. We like it in our plans. Well, you know, we might have wrestled, but we're going to do what God wants us to do. We got it all planned out. We're going to go out and do it. But the other thing is, the other part of the equation is when you're not ready. And you know what? These are the greatest times. The greatest times. Because you know that you are doing something for God. The outside evidence isn't proving it. You know, I can remember back in the past, and I think I've told this story a couple of times, but I was painting a restaurant, the outside of a restaurant. And so I'm having to watch for cars and such, you know, because can't get the paint on the cars. But anyway, I'm painting, and I noticed a couple drive up, and they had an out-of-state tag. And so they're getting out of their vehicle. Now, this has been decades ago. And the Lord told me to go pray with this guy. Well, I'm wrestling with that. Is that really God? Or is that the devil? He just wanted me to look like a fool. You know, it's, you know, so I'm wrestling with this thought in my head. And, you know, I'm just getting this. I need to go pray with this guy. You know, and so they walked by, went in the restaurant. I didn't pray. I didn't do it. You know, even before then and since then, I have prayed for people I don't know. I couldn't even tell you how many. But you know the one I do remember? I remember that one. I remember that one. Did God hold it over my head and say, "You should have done that because of this, you're demoted," or you know, I don't care for you as much now because you're not going to do what I tell you to do? No. There was no condemnation. I missed the opportunity. You know, that opportunity proves what God put in you. Now, maybe you're not the type of person that's going to go pray for people that you don't know. I wasn't that way either, but I have learned. I have learned. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you have to do, but what I am saying is that God has built in you certain character traits, certain mannerisms, certain appearance that you're going to be able to touch people that I can't touch. And so what you've got to find out through the guidebook and by listening to his voice, what you need to realize is what that purpose is. Okay. So Monica tells me, keep on going. So I'm going on. I was going to close on that. Monica threw me off a little bit, but that's okay because God knows when I'm ready. I've got the lesson all written out right here. That was the end of my lesson. Now what we're doing is what we're not prepared for. And so you know what I do when I get in that position? I say, okay, Holy Ghost. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want the people to know? You know, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. That's you. God loved you so much, he sent his son. He said he didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. You know, and so we're wrestling with all these other ways because that's in our agenda, that's in our plans. But I want you to know, as you draw close to him, he starts showing himself through you. And that is the purpose. It's not what God did for you. It's what God's doing in you. Amen. Get your mind away from the things going on around you, because I want you to know that you're either in one of three positions. You either just got out of a problem, you're right in the middle of a problem, or you're about to encounter one. Don't let the problems be your identity, because he is so much bigger than that. And it may look like something that you can't overcome, but it's nothing to him. Here, get in the guidebook. Listen to what he has to say, because in the bottom line, when it's all said and done, what Jesus said, it's because you did it for the least of these. And that's where God shines through us. You know, I hope you got something out of this. I'm going to close in prayer here. Father, we bless you and we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the words that have gone forth. I pray that you impress them upon our minds and our hearts. Lord God, help us to receive what you have for us, Lord God. And I'm thanking you for it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from my grandson, Angel Vega, and from Mr. Rick Spain. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned. Following this, we'll end this video, and then there'll be a few songs, and then the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight. The title of that is Flip the Switch. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.